Buenos días, bienvenidos a Santiago de Compostela.
Welcome to the Lost Dot 101 podcast with me, Nick Rawlings, and supported by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Today's episode includes some spatial recordings that are mixed binaurally, so if you can, get some headphones on and enjoy. After many long roads to the start line, our 145 riders began amassing in Santiago de Compostela, where they found its imposing cathedral and weary pilgrims under grey skies, and also an invitation to another challenge, an alley cat around the city organised by our race reporter, Sophie Potter.
It's not a race, it's like a funny challenge, but if you want to go full gas, be my guest. Just remember that you had something else tomorrow to do. Okay. Are you?
Maybe take your clothes.
The clothes.
Yeah, yours is 8 minutes.
Mine is quite close.
Mine's 3.7k.
It's with.
Yours.
No. Mine. It's 8 minutes. Just 8 minutes.
Great. This
but,
is very, very
850 meters.
Checkpoints around the city were set and routes drafted before riders headed off around the city, tackling some unexpected extra elevation, and before long, experiencing their first Iberian rain.
Well then. How are we feeling?
Well, it was not so easy.
Was it type 2 fun?
There were moments.
Where we got lost.
I'm here in Monte d'Ogosso, the final checkpoint of the Alley Cats that we organized today. The point of the Alley Cat was really to gather everyone so everyone could meet before the race, because a lot of people arrived here on their own. We started with six team of seven riders, and only two made it to the final checkpoint. It was a bit of a steep climb to get here. We choose that place because this is the first time after the walker during the Camino de Santiago. When they arrive in Compostela, this is the first time they actually see the cathedral. So this is the end of the journey. And for our riders, this will be the beginning of their own race, the Lost Dot 101.
At the Alley Cat, Aflin caught up with Cap 87, Tracy Kubas.
Is this, have you done anything like this before?
I've done the Stagecoach 400 in SoCal, but that's mountain biking route. So this is my first road ultra event.
How are you feeling about it?
happy to be here. Pretty confident about finishing the distance. Don't know if I'll make the time cutoffs, but I'm just trying to make it a positive, fun experience and enjoy being out here. And everybody I've met's been really awesome so far, so I think it's going to be a really positive experience. I'm glad that they put on this race this year. So,
is there anything in particular you're really looking forward to on route or for your race?
Well, getting done, honestly, like the dread of thinking about the suffering part is always a little bit tough. So I'm hoping to have some high moments out there, but I haven't reconned the course a ton.
After our riders' last comfortable night for the week, with all the usual and inevitable repacking, carb loading and restless sleep, we rejoin Sophie Potter at race registration and briefing, where riders are gathering with a mix of excitement and nerves.
The place was surprisingly quiet, but it's normal as like 50% of the field is first-time ultra race riders, so they are still shy. There was tension in the air, of course, but also this really, really special atmosphere that only a Flinta-only event can create. It's hard to describe. It's just like warm and amazing. It's a life-changing experience. I tried to ask some race-oriented question because, after all, this is a race. But it was actually quite difficult. I think fleeters, in general, often don't really see themselves as athletes, even if they are. So many riders told me their goal was just to finish in GC, which is funny because saying just GC as if riding 1,200 kilometers with 23,000 meters of climbing across Spain was somehow a small thing, just a small thing. We could hear gigglings and cheering, and it already felt like a beautiful celebration of the Flinta community. I myself raced ultra distance race, and when I started a few years ago, we were three on the starting line. So this is so, I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to see that many riders were on the starting line. It was a bet what Losto team did by creating an event for Flinters only. It was a bet, and they nailed it.
Here's Judith Gordon, cap number 3 at registration, on why she chose the 101 as her first ultra, and on the unique feeling of being part of a community that are riding huge miles alone, but together.
Can you tell me what your name is, please?
I'm Judith.
You're Judith. Judith, yeah. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
And what cap number are you?
I'm number 3.
That is good.
I know.
That is good.
I think I must have been fast to apply or something. I don't know how the numbers have been dished out.
How are you feeling about the race?
I'm good. I just can't wait to get started. I got here a bit early in case anything got wrong. Nothing went wrong. And so I'm just like waiting.
Nice. Yeah. And have you done anything like this before?
No. So I think by the time I've done my first day, it'll be my longest bike ride ever. So
wow.
Yeah. I've done some overnight stuff. I've done some long distance. Yeah, but nothing on the scale. Yeah.
And what kind of inspired you to start ultra distance?
No, I think it just, the idea of being a dot is like of being part of something. So I'm not great in group riding, and I like riding on my own, but when you're on your own, it's quite isolating, whereas it feels like you're part of something without having to ride in a group. So I think that's appealed. I think the distance, I've just found that I'm not a sprinter, I can do longer days, and so the ultra kind of speaks to that side of me, and it's like, well, let's see how far I can go.
We also caught up with bursary rider Fatima Islam, cap 35, who'd had a bit of a nightmare getting to the start.
Oh, how are you? Apparently it was frazzled. A bit of a journey to come here.
Good God, I can't believe I'm actually potentially going to start. I've mentally prepared myself to start tomorrow because of all the dramas I had with the bike and stuff.
What happened?
Basically, like, when I got into accommodation late last night, I took my bike out to put it together, and I found that my tyres had all sort of like had slashes through them, and I've got loads of inner tubes because you always think about having flats and things like that, but I never thought that I'd have tears through my tyres. I was like, no, what do I do? But I came here because I just thought there's no harm in trying, and thank goodness one of the other riders really, really kindly has given me one of their tyres. So yeah.
So how do you feel now?
I just feel really frazzled at the moment, and I was like hoping to start the race really calm and chill, and now I'm like, but I'm hoping to channel that nervous energy into the ride.
Yes.
And just, I'm really, really hoping that the rain sort of holds off for tonight at least. But apart from that, yeah, just ready to get going really.
It's just a bike ride.
That's exactly what I was just saying to somebody. We were just saying about how stressed we are and things. And I was like, do you know what? Yeah, I have been stressed. However, I started to realise, wait, like, why are we stressing ourselves out? You just need to think about why you entered this, which is that you love cycling. You love riding. That's literally what this is. And we're like, yeah, actually, it's so true.
Barbara Human, cap 110, was looking forward to their first ultra after becoming a mother and training across the Pyrenees with a child trailer in tow.
Can I chat to you for a few minutes?
Yes.
Yeah? So could you tell me your name and cap number, first of all?
Yeah. So, hello, I'm Barbara. I'm cap number 110.
Nice.
It's my very first ultra event.
Very first ultra event. And
yes.
Have you done, you've done some other racing before?
I've been on the road cycling circuit for a few years,
yeah.
In France on a national level. And then I got a bit hard mentally and I got pregnant, so now I thought it's a good challenge after having a child. And
wow. Has it been a hard comeback since having a child?
No, not at all. It was super nice. Like last year we did our own challenge. We crossed the Pyrenees with the trailer and with her in the tent. And now it's like It went quite smoothly. It's super easy to train with her because she loves being in the bike, and even doing 5 hours with her is not an issue.
Wow. And I see you've got I feel like this is maybe the snazziest bike I've ever seen a bike trailer attached to the back of before. It looks like a very fast carbon road bike.
Yes, it's
a nice factor bike. She has the same bike.
And do you often pull your daughter behind on it?
Yes, we both do. And she really likes it.
Hello.
She loves it.
What's her name?
Her name is Charlotte.
Hello, Charlotte. And has Barbara been doing lots of training with the bike trailer?
Yes, because when she's with her, then she pulls her, or when we are together, then I pull her.
That sounds like good training as well.
It's good training. We're not fast, we're steady. I've done as much as I could. Let's see how it goes, how I deal with like short nights. I mean, that is something I'm used to. But let's see, also being on the bike for so many days, for such a long time. So far, my longest ride was 230 kilometers last year, 9 months after I gave birth to her. So, yeah, let's see.
That's impressive. And how are you, have you got a kind of strategy for the race? Or?
So today I will go not so far. I want to sleep through the first night. And then I will try to find like rooms to sleep in, because I think then to wash and stay around like 230 kilometers, 260 per day, and then should be fine. Luckily we live in Yacht, so the meters that they're climbing should not be the biggest issue. I'm a bit worried about the wind. I don't like wind, but I think it should be fine. The road looks nice. It will be nice. And
very nice. And do you plan to look at the tracker when you're out there, or you're just going to do your own thing?
I try to do my own thing, because there's no point in looking at the tracker. I hope not to start too fast.
Yeah.
Because that's always a challenge. But
always a challenge. Get swept away with it all.
At each Lost Dot race, we run a green leaderboard for riders who have travelled to the start line without flying, and reducing the environmental impact of our races is something that's super important to us. One of those green leaderboard riders is CAP 82, Ariane Richter, who had travelled overland from Berlin.
I took the train and the night train, which was cancelled, so I had to take another one, and then to Paris, and then Paris to Hendaye, and then the Camino Express, yeah.
The Camino Express.
Yeah.
Oh, was it like, why did you choose to come by train, like to travel flight-free?
I do this for fun. The race is fun, and I feel like it's not worth to kind of do bad for the whole environment just for my fun. So I'd rather go sustainable. But doing the ride, I found it quite hard, and thought, wow, this is really a big effort I'm doing here. Yeah, but I think it's the right thing to do.
And is it your first race?
No. I've done a couple of other races, mainly off-road and gravel. But as soon as, I don't know, they put up that's like an old Flinter race, then I figured, yeah, it would be cool to take part.
I thought you were going to talk about the weather.
No,
it's pouring rain behind us at the moment. How do you think this event is going to be different from the other one you've done? Because this is a Flinter only race.
Actually, just sitting here, I was thinking, well, it really is different, because usually you can hide a lot more, because there are like only very few women, and then you can, you're just covered somehow. And this time I feel like more exposed, and it's like more like a fair playing ground, and it kind of also, I wouldn't say scare me, but it's more, it probably shows more where you really stand than if you have like a much smaller field.
So speaking of race, where to stand, what's your goal for the race?
I'm aiming for a finish I want to arrive on Thursday, so that I have like a couple of days before the party. And I can't control how good the others are, but I'm hoping to be like, I don't know, in the first quarter maybe. That would be success for me.
Do you have a race strategy you can share with us?
I'm trying not to sleep in the first night. So basically, especially since the rain is probably going to stop later on during the night, then definitely I want to make most of it. And if I do get tired towards the morning, I'm just going to lay down like for a short amount of time, half an hour, and then keep going. And then rather in the second night, go a bit earlier to bed and catch up on sleep. I know it's not the best thing to compromise on sleep fully. So I try to balance it a little bit.
Speaking of bed, are you indoor or outdoor person?
I'm in off-road races. I like to stay outside because then you're just in the middle of nowhere. Here on road, I feel more comfortable indoors.
Caroline Clapham, Cap 14, was bringing a more laid-back approach to the race, but was starting to feel the pressure.
Why do you feel nervous?
Oh, well, one, I've never done this.
Okay. But you've done rallies before.
I've done rallies, but they're not the same. It's different, right? I mean, apart from getting to the finish, there's no real pressure.
No.
This is like next level. Massively next level.
But so why did you sign up?
Because I wanted to, I guess, challenge myself. See if I could do that. But for me, it's not a race in the sense that I'm trying to race. I'm trying to see if I can achieve it. Yeah. And I'm still not sure I can. So we'll see.
Because
I didn't do the planning till quite last minute because I had got a really full-on job. Anyway, so I only did it about a week or so ago, and then I went, oh shit, there's a lot climbing. My plan is to use every daylight hour and rest at night. I think that suits me better. I'm nervous in the dark. I don't like being in the dark. I don't mind running in the dark with other people, but on my own, I'm just a bit of a wuss.
Are you planning to sleep inside or outside?
Yes. Yeah, I've got no equipment to sleep outside, so it forces me to find somewhere to stay.
I love your spirit.
I will have to just keep going until I find somewhere.
Oh, here is your race strategy.
Yeah, like, I guess so.
Take nothing, so you have no choice but to keep going.
Yeah, pretty much. But I think there's enough going on. Yes, there's some big distances, but there isn't. But I think you can cover those, and again, if you plan, well, I mean, who knows, right? And that's the other thing, you can't have too much of a plan because we all know, same with the rallies, like, you know, every day is different.
Cap 132, Rose Osborne, was also hoping to complete their first ultra.
Yes. I'm going to start by asking you your full name and your cap number, please.
My name is Rose Osborne and I'm cap number 132.
How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I feel like you go through phases of like nerves and then excitement and then out the other side. But now I'm in the excitement phase because everything's done that can be done. So you just gotta go with the flow now.
Do you feel ready?
Definitely organisationally, like I'm bike ready, but body is perhaps like lagging a bit behind because I kept saying in England it's been like the worst winter ever. It's been so wet, and so I was like, oh, January I'm going to start training, and just kind of didn't until March. So,
oopsie.
Yeah, but then maybe it'll catch up my body halfway through, then I'll be feeling good. You never know.
Is it your, so there is a lot of rookies, like first time racer. I know you're not.
Well, I don't like a lot of riding, but I actually haven't done really much ultra. So, and the only two I've started, I never finished. So actually, I kind of am a rookie. So that's why this goal for me is to finish. And I'm trying to channel a new mentality because every other one that I've done, I said, oh, this has got to be fun. Like, the point is fun. So when it's not fun, I'm going to stop. But obviously, it's not always fun. So then I would quit when it wasn't fun. So now I'm here for the experience, which includes like not being fun and other things. So therefore, hopefully my brain will be like, we're getting to the finish. That's the plan.
Do you have a strategy to share when it's not fun in order to continue?
Could be an
advice for all the rookie there.
Yeah, I guess maybe like things change really quick. So like you could be feeling like the worst of the worst, but then to like keep in mind that it might just be some food, some sleep, whatever it is, and it can really change. So like to, yeah, keep that in mind, I guess. Yeah.
How do you feel about a Flinta only race?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason why I'm here. There's something kind of cool about that. And it's actually just like a different vibe, different experience doing it like this. So yeah, I'm very excited for that and to be part of it, because it's the first one, isn't it? The first Ufolenta Ultra. Yeah, I wanted to be here, so I'm here.
So the race hasn't started yet, but you said that there is already a different vibe. Can you tell us more about that?
I think it's like less, I don't want to say less competitive, because that's not true. There is people here that are competitive with each other, but there's also a lot of people that are here to support each other doing it, and like it feels more welcoming and supportive than I think it would do if it wasn't Flinta. Maybe that's just my assumptions. I don't know. Also, yeah, I don't know. I guess, yeah, maybe I'll find out as I go. But that's the first impression, is like everyone really wants everyone to be here and everyone to do well, and like however, whatever well means to each other, but to like, yeah, to get there. So
I've been really impressed by all the messages there were. So there is a WhatsApp group where all the riders could get in. And I've been really surprised to see like everyone saying like, oh, I have that to spare, like does anyone need like food, tape, like
the WhatsApp is popping off. There's nothing you can't get on that WhatsApp group. I don't know how it's going to work, obviously, because once we start we can't help each other, so everyone's going to have to be like holding back and remembering that. But yeah, if you need anything, get on that WhatsApp group, it comes. So yeah.
All right, what can I wish you?
What can you wish me? Oh, just something like, say some prayers to the weather gods, please. Thoughts and prayers for the weather, please. That would do it, yeah.
I will.
Cheers.
Enjoy, cheers.
With all the riders registered and gathered in the sports hall bleachers, it was time for the race briefing from race organisers Hannah and Andrew.
At the briefing, it felt a bit like being back in a classroom where everyone is paying attention. Anna, our race director, reminded us that the rule number one out there is simply to stay safe, no matter what, to stay safe.
And here is race organiser Hannah, reflecting on the race start and the day's energy.
We're just at a little pilgrim cafe just off the Praza do Obradoiro, which is where the riders are going to be starting the race in less than 1 hour now. It's been quite a relaxed atmosphere. Like, people don't seem too stressed out or nervous, even though it's the first race for so many people. And yeah, it's been so supportive. It's lovely.
Approaching 6 p.m, our riders gathered in the square beneath the cathedral for the Grand Depart, where Sophie and Aflin asked them to describe their feelings before heading off into the night.
In one word, how do you feel right now?
Chilled.
I need a wee.
I'm excited. Excited.
Great.
One word. Anxious.
No. I'm anxious to get going.
Pumped.
Oh. Tearful.
Tearful.
Nervous.
Vibes.
Vibes. Love it.
I feel pretty stoked.
I've got a lot of anticipation.
Great. These are all great words. I'm glad. It's the positive end of the spectrum. Nice.
Very excited.
Thank you. Same question to you two. How do you feel right now in one word?
Ready. Tired.
Start spinning the legs and you'll get the energy. Thanks. Hello.
Nervous.
Great. Have a good ride. Thanks.
Sophie Potter again.
The whole day was pretty rainy, but just before the start, the sky cleared out and the sun came out. If this is not a sign from the sky that we are doing something great here, I don't know what is.
Under a cacophony of bells, both the tolling cathedral bells and bright pings from the bikes, the riders set off through the streets of Santiago, passing a lone piper and out onto the opening parkour, quickly setting into their paces. Before long, though, the rain really started to come down, and the first early mechanicals started to crop up. This is Robin Bodeman, Cap 8.
What's this? Oh no.
So funny. So many people ask me if I'm riding tubeless, and I was like, no, I'm not. I'm old school. If I have a flat, at least I know how to fix it all the time, every time the same. And now I have a flat already.
And how do you feel about the not tubeless part then?
It's okay. Maybe next time.
On the first part of the parkour, we could already see many emotions on the riders' faces, determination, a tiny bit of suffering too because of the rain, some gloomy faces. But the rain is savage out there, and it's a good reminder that the race is long and that the next hundreds of kilometers to Cordoba will be full of challenges. We stopped in a bar around 40 kilometers into the parkour one while the Barça was playing against the Real Madrid. Billy, cap 61, came in just in time to order a sandwich and see the Barça score their second goal at minute 18. And she said she would have loved to stay and watch the match, but she had other plans, eat a sandwich and ride to Cordoba.
Yeah, it's going all right. How are you doing?
Yeah, fine, thanks. You needed a little break?
I needed to get warm and get food, and yes, that's...
It's cold out there?
Well, I made a slight error in that I have these lovely new overshoes, and I stopped to put on my waterproofs and couldn't find any. decided not to put on my waterproof trousers because I'll just get my shoes more wet, so carried on, and then it absolutely tipped it down, and so I was like, no, I'm gonna have to put on the waterproof trousers, and unrolled them, and inside were my overshoes. So I just so now I have kept well protected my extremely wet shoes and socks, but apart from that, it's yeah, going well.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your sandwich and the match. The Barça just scored. It's 2-0 against the Real Madrid. Minute 18. It was definitely one of these funny moments where a normal Sunday evening life and ultra distance racing suddenly meet for a few minutes before separating again. One rider reminded me today that women have been doing incredible things on bikes for a very, very long time already. Annie Londonderry became the first woman to cycle around the world in 1894, and Unseen women were excluded from many races and competition for decades. She also reminded me that the first woman Giro only came in 1988. That's crazy. But now we are in 2026. We finally have a Flint Townley ultra distance race, and I'm super, super excited to be here. This is a race I really did not want to miss, and I feel really honored to be reporting and sharing the stories of this really special race. So huge congratulations to everyone who made it to the start line. It's the hardest part now. The rest is just a very long bike ride.
Ella Cookson, cap 40, held an early lead, jousting with a group of strong front runners, including Megan Young, cap 22, Nikki Shaw, cap 92, and Larissa Unsen, cap 103, until nightfall in the Sill Canyon parkour, where Anna Richter pulled out a decent lead by the middle of the first night, closely chased by Amrai Kuna. Late into the evening, Sophie caught up with Susanna Kirk, cap 10, who was feeling a bit too damp and cold to stay outside for the night.
Hello! How are you? Is it okay?
Oh, damp.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What's going on here? What are you doing?
Oh, I've got a room, so I'm staying. I've just looked at the forecast. It's not nice. So,
yeah, was it hard?
Out there, or wet, at least?
Yes.
It's just cold as well. And I think with it getting dark and just looking at the forecast, and I'm not comfortable. And if it was just going uphill, it'd be fine. But like some of the downhills and bits. And I did a recce of some of this back in March. So I just going to stop now and then keep going in the morning.
You don't have to feel bad about it.
I know, I partly do, because I'd had my plan. I wanted to get to Rodeo and... you know, I do marked a couple of places to bivvy, but I know what I'm like. I'm useless in the cold, so, and I don't want to put myself off for the entire thing, so
It's good, you know your strengths and your weaknesses.
Well, true.
And you work
yes,
with
it. Yes.
It's
so
good. Hope the bed is going to be comfortable tonight.
Time to bed for us, time to go to bed for us in the control car too, but not for the vast majority of our riders out there who are simply going to ride through the night. Good luck to them. Tomorrow we'll be out there again collecting stories, and in the meantime, good night and good ride everyone.